Lenovo has traveled the world to find stories of kindness to create the Kind City podcast. Unlike other podcasts, you decide what happens next. You build the audio experience. Start with multi-generational living in the USA. Travel to China to hear about climate change. Pop to the UK for dreams, tech hubs in Brazilian favelas, kindness currency in Japan. It's up to you. Listen at kindcity.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, November 2nd. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Lyft announces its earnings today, and Uber tells investors how it did this quarter later this week. Both companies have a problem. They're struggling to convince drivers to get back on the road, and that's keeping prices high for riders. On today's show, Wall Street Journal reporter Preeti Khurana, who covers Uber and Lyft, joins us to discuss why this could be a sign of broader changes to the gig economy. That's after these headlines. We exclusively report, Apple is planning to roll out software on its iPhones and smartwatches next year that would detect car crashes. According to documents reviewed by the Wall Street Journal and people familiar with the feature, Apple would use data from sensors built into the devices to detect car accidents as they occur. For example, they would measure things like a sudden spike in gravity or G-force on impact. The device would then automatically call 911. WSJ reporter Rolf Winkler has been looking into the details.
Over the past year, since they've been testing this feature, they've registered over 10 million significant impacts in cars, apparently. And to refine their algorithm to make sure that those are car accidents, what they're doing is tagging them with 911 calls. Did this car crash that we registered come with a call to emergency services at the same time? That way we know, yep, that's a car crash. It's something that they need to do to refine the algorithm because, you know, if they make it too sensitive, then they could be sending emergency services to non-accidents potentially. So they got to make sure that these are real car accidents.
Google's Pixel phone already offers mobile crash detection, and there are also apps and in-car devices that do this. People familiar with the company's development process told the Journal that Apple could still choose not to release the feature or change the timing of its launch. An Apple spokesperson declined to comment. Video game company Roblox is apologizing for a multi-day outage that kept users off the site for most of the weekend. The outage began on Thursday as the company was kicking off a Halloween-themed event in partnership with restaurant chain Chipotle. On Friday, Roblox tweeted that the outage was not related to any specific experiences or partnerships on the platform. The site was back online Sunday evening. The gaming platform is particularly popular with preteens. More than 48 million users spent 4 billion hours on the platform in August, according to internal metrics. And we report exclusively that Rivian Automotive, the electric vehicle maker backed by Amazon, plans to target a valuation near $60 billion in its initial public offering next week. Rivian makes an electric pickup truck, which it recently began delivering to customers. The demand for EVs is picking up, and Rivian is one of a number of manufacturers hoping to challenge Tesla's dominance. Another American EV maker, Lucid Group, which produces an electric sedan, started delivering its cars last weekend. Okay, coming up, why is your Uber still so expensive? We'll discuss what it tells us about the gig economy after the break.
Lenovo has traveled the world to find stories of kindness to create the Kind City podcast. Unlike other podcasts, you decide what happens next. You build the audio experience. Start with multi-generational living in the USA. Travel to China to hear about climate change. Pop to the UK for dreams, tech hubs in Brazilian favelas, kindness currency in Japan. It's up to you. Listen at kindcity.com.
As we've talked about on this show before, the prices of trips with Uber and Lyft hit historic highs over the summer. People wanted to get out and about, but many gig drivers weren't keen on hitting the road. The companies have offered drivers some incentives, but that hasn't been enough. Prices have come down, but they're still pretty high in many areas of the country. Joining us to discuss what this could tell us about the broader gig economy is our tech reporter, Preeti Khurana. Hi, Preeti. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show, Zoe.
You know, a lot of economists were predicting that when extended government benefits ran out, we'd see a lot more people go back to jobs like ride-hail driver. Has that panned out?
That's been very interesting to watch. And actually, Uber and Lyft thought that most drivers would return after September when these benefits expired and we would see prices start to normalize. But that hasn't happened. You know, if you just look at the data that we have from Yipit, and they track emailed receipts that riders receive from Uber and Lyft, it shows that nationwide fares have just declined 3% in the first 3 weeks of October compared with the record high prices that we saw in July. To put that into perspective, that means riders on average still paid 22% more for a ride so far in October compared with January. And that's 30% more than they paid in October 2019, pre-pandemic.
Right. Those are some really high fares to be paying. Where are all the drivers?
We're trying to get to the bottom of that, too. So we've been speaking to economists and labor experts and, of course, Uber and Lyft as well to understand what's going on. And there are a few reasons here. One is just that these payments, these unemployment benefits, did act as a sort of buffer. So some people may have retired early, or they've stepped away from the workforce temporarily, you know, maybe to wait for a better job opportunity or to become a full-time parent. Another reason is that the traditional job market is so hot right now. So if you were an Uber and Lyft driver, and if you ever wanted a job in corporate America, now is the best time for you to do that. And then the third aspect of this is just safety. A lot of drivers went to other low-skilled industries like maybe grocery delivery or food delivery. And many of them are staying put. You know, some of the drivers we spoke to said they're not yet ready to return to rideshare because of safety. They don't want to share their car with someone else.
What about for the drivers who did return, or maybe even some new drivers who signed up? What's the situation like for them right now?
So it's a really good time to be a rideshare driver. And that's partly because of the bonuses that Uber and Lyft have offered through the summer. Some of the drivers I spoke to said that at the peak of, you know, these shortages in July, Uber and Lyft were offering a $250 joining bonus. They were saying, hey, if you take three consecutive rides, we would give you $50. And I mean, that's really good money. So over the summer, rideshare earnings were at an all-time high, just driven by these bonuses that the companies were offering. In fact, one of the drivers that we spoke to, Jim McIntyre from Chicago, said he got COVID after picking up people from the airport. And while Jim is concerned about his safety, he's still driving because the money is pretty good. It's a very lucrative time to be a rideshare driver right now.
I have never, never made this much money doing Lyft or Uber before. Now I'm making a lot of money and I only got to work, you know, 2-3 days a week. I'm not going out there to just drive around for 10 bucks an hour. You know, even 20 bucks an hour, it's not worth it.
And we're seeing that in places where there's still a labor shortage, earnings are still high. But what the companies are doing is, in certain cities where a lot more drivers are returning, they're beginning to pull back on these earnings.
Are the companies ever going to be able to bring costs down?
So prices are definitely going to be better than they are right now. But I should caution all our listeners that we are never perhaps going back to the dirt cheap prices that we had pre-pandemic. And that's because Uber and Lyft are trying to become profitable companies. And, you know, the hallmark of the last decade was just dirt cheap prices and discounts so that they could get enough riders to use their services. What we're seeing in the pandemic is that prices are high, but consumers are still relying on rideshare. And maybe that's because a lot of consumers are still not that comfortable taking the subway. But it's shown the companies that they can continue to grow despite high prices. So my guess is that prices will come down from the highs that we've seen this year, but they will never be those dirt cheap discounted prices that we used to enjoy before the pandemic.
I wonder how much power the drivers have in this situation.
So that's a very interesting one as well. I think the pandemic has bought health and safety and workers' rights. It's just thrust that onto the forefront. And we've seen a lot more collective action by drivers. The companies are acknowledging that. So they've said to us earlier in the summer that, you know that we have to do more. We can't just keep attracting these drivers with bonuses. We have to be more attractive options for drivers to work at, because now it's not just Uber and Lyft. They can go to DoorDash, or they can work for Instacart or Amazon. So there's definitely that reckoning happening as far as the companies go. But in terms of prices, I think that power still lies with the companies, what they pay drivers and what they can charge from consumers.
Yeah, I mean, talking about this competition within the gig economy and also, you know, the demand from corporate America for more workers, we're seeing this not just with ride-hailing companies, but with lots of companies struggling to find workers, struggling with supply chain shortages. So what does this mean for the wider economy?
Right. So, you know, while Uber and Lyft have been contending with this driver shortage for a while now, this sort of mirrors a broader trend of there are just, you know, more jobs than there are workers available for. And it's not just that we're seeing the shortage in rideshare, we're now beginning to see the shortage in across industries, you know, whether that's in restaurants or some of the other industries. I think it'll be very interesting to watch how the labor market, you know, responds and adapts as we come out of this pandemic and as we go into maybe, you know, a full normal reopening. I think we're seeing fits and starts of that, but it'll be very interesting to see whether things normalize, you know, in 2022, or if this is, you know, a longer trend where, you know, the job market continues to be as hot as it is and a lot of people choose to stay on the sidelines. But I guess only time will tell.
All right. That's our reporter, Preetika Rana. Thanks for joining us, Preetika.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. But before we go, a reminder, we want to hear your questions about the WSJ's Facebook File series. What do you want to know about the investigation, the future of Facebook, or combating its effects in your own life? We'll have a member of the Facebook Files investigative team on the show to answer them. Leave us a voicemail at 314-635-0388. We might include your question or story in an upcoming episode. Again, that's 314-635-0388. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
20 years ago, energy giant Enron was considered one of the most innovative companies in the world. But in late summer 2001, the company's top executive resigned out of the blue. That set my colleague Rebecca Smith and me on a reporting journey with an end we never imagined. I'm John M. Schweiler from The Wall Street Journal. On our new podcast, Bad Bets, we unravel big business dramas that have had a big impact on our world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.